Yes, there it goes.
All right.
Hello, I'm Mia Sines, and I am so excited to get to be the host for Barry Selby, your speaker today, on his love webinar about Golden Keys. Now, Golden Keys open doors, but before we get into that, I want to share a little bit about Barry with you. I've known Barry for, about 9 years now. And I have found him to be a remarkable spiritual teacher, a wonderful practitioner, a teacher of love and divine feminine. And so I am really honored to have not only my friend and colleague, but somebody very special here to talk to you guys. And so I'd like to ask Barry, first of all, welcome, Barry.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you on your webinar and me as a hostess.
With the most. I'm loving it too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would love you to share a little bit about your background story, which will help a lot of people understand this magnificence of the divine feminine and love that you bring in. That's so unusual for a man to share with the world in which the way you do.
Okay, how long do we have? I'll keep it succinct. Before people start jumping to conclusions, thinking I'm somewhere from other countries like Australia and New Zealand, I'm actually English. Mm-hmm. And born and raised in English free in a somewhat conservative Jewish family. And even at a young age, I knew something was not right. I knew there's something more. I felt somewhat constrained in my environment. I had no clue at the time that what I was going for, but I had this feeling even then that was starting to brew up. And being the traditional reserve values rules I grew up with, my dating life didn't go very well because I didn't know anything about women, how to date. I mean, my parents were not exactly great teachers. Mm-hmm. They modeled relationship because they were together. In fact, today would be the 65th anniversary if my mother was still alive. She passed away in 2012. So there's a strong respect of long-term relationship, but I couldn't make it happen. And so my dating life was very chaotic. I made mistakes along the way. And frankly, it wasn't until I was actually in the States, I've been in the United States now for well over 30 years, when I was doing some trainings and seminars that really showed me for the first time what men in the masculine and women in the feminine were really about. And it changed my worldview, basically, in paradigm shift completely. And it put me in such reverence for the feminine because I never experienced women owning that place before. And it pretty much brought me to my knees out of respect, out of appreciation, and out of worship. There was such a joy in me to see women owning that. But looking back at my past relationships, I realized how many women I dated who didn't understand that. And then we would basically compete in the same space of being manly, like macho shit. They were business women, they were direct, they were running the show, which meant very passionate lovemaking, but very dysfunctional relationships. Mm-hmm. That's one part. The love journey, though, has been one I've been on for a long time and through my spiritual journey for the last 18 years. And also my background in spiritual psychology, I've really discovered that love isn't just this simple thing I thought it was. Mm-hmm. When most people look at love as being, well, that's love for your partner or love for your family. That's it. It's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. And also the invitation I have at the back end, because love is so much more than just how to be loving with somebody. It's like, how do you love when times get challenging? How do you love when your life isn't going perfectly? That's the thing that's really the human stuff. So my intention is to give you some suggestions, some guidance, and an invitation at the end. So
that's fabulous. That's fabulous. So I'll let you get started with your beautiful talk.
Okay. Well, thank you. And considering I have no script, this will be interesting. So as I mentioned, love is something that we're trained, or should say, no, not trained, wrong word. We're educated by the way that movies and music and culture teaches us that love is romantic, or you have it for your family, maybe for your friends. But love is more than just how you connect to other people. A lot of the work I've done certainly for the last several months and several years is self-love, but it's not, it's more than just, okay, I love myself. I'm grateful for who I am. Thank you. Catherine, you're getting busy there with something. And what I realized is that love is a tool that has, it's almost like, the way I describe it is love is a multi-tool. Because love plugs into self-support. It plugs into how we take care of ourselves, but also plugs into how we relate to the world. And one of the biggest challenges I see we face is when we forget to love in our communications. And so I'm really realizing more and more how love is the It's almost like the pervasive. It's the fuel underneath everything we do. And what I've been doing is I've been writing some notes down for the last couple of weeks as I was preparing for this, realizing that I actually have, at this point in time, 18 different qualities or tools that we need to apply in our lives to make love more effective. Because loving is also how we connect with each other on so many levels. I discovered for myself that I'm getting better at, because it's always a continual learning curve, how to bring love into all my interactions. So when I open the door for a friend, or if I make a phone call or send an email, can I put loving into what I'm doing? The biggest piece for me, though, has been the self-reflection part, the self-love here, because I've noticed how many times my equilibrium or my inner joy level, I'll put it that way, is impacted by what happens out there. And every time that happens, I know what's happening. It's not about what's happening out there. It's about what's happening in here. What I've become a very astute student of is looking for the ways that I take the world in and it impacts me without me going, hang on a second, I don't need to do that. And self-love, in the way I use it, in the way I talk about it, is a method through which we respect ourselves enough that what happens out there can come to our door, like the golden key. We only let it in when we're ready for it. And my understanding is that self-love is a overarching title and its overarching theme, because I teach self-love in my practices and my programs. It's building a foundation where we respect ourselves enough, where we honor ourselves enough, and where we support ourselves enough to choose to respond to the world from our own authority. Because for a lot of us, at least maybe it's just me, maybe nobody else, I've watched how life sometimes throws me curveballs, and I end up getting in reaction mode and end up trying to fix things versus going, well, hang on a second, I don't need to do it that way. And so what I've learned how to do is take care of myself at a whole other level. And it sounds so simplistic to say it this way, yet it is really that simple. It just takes practice to keep practicing, building that sustainable method to love ourselves, so that when we're in the world, we're not swayed by what's around us. We actually go with the flow that allows it to move through the world in a very graceful way. And it's something that I see with women, particularly when they're feminine, it's one of their gifts, because the feminine energy is a flowing energy. And women who discover this realize the power of being, it's almost like, I would say the best thing I would describe to you is like a master martial art, martial artist, like Bruce Lee or something like that. Because when they're moving in martial arts, it's not rigid and structured. It's a flow and a dance that is extremely effective. And the person who's doing it is moves through life uninjured, is in power, is in authority, and walks out the other side without any sweat. And that for me is the power of really having a self-love-centric way of living that has to be at the master of our own lives, or the mistress if you're a woman. But the thing I want to say, the trap is we think, and this is one of the caveats, we think self-love is somehow selfish. When we love ourselves, somehow we're denying other people. Or it's an ego-driven one saying, I'm better than you because I'm loving myself. Nothing could be further from the truth. When we truly love ourselves, it's a humbling experience. When we love ourselves, we tend to find ourselves making better choices. And there's no desire to run our game on other people. There's no desire to be better than anybody else. Because when we start loving ourselves, the secret of this, when we start loving ourselves, is we start to see the love in other people. And by seeing them that way, we have more compassion for them and then in turn for ourselves as well. So, as I said, there's a lot of facets of like a diamond cut for this self-love practice that has so many different components that when we start to utilize these and put them into our lives, life becomes a joyful experience. And so I'm a bit of an evangelist for this, I guess, because I'm telling people, you can love yourself more, and by practicing this, your life will transform. So those judgments you've carried, any past history in your life that was hurt, wounded, abusive, traumatic, things that happened in your life, don't have to run your life anymore. And hopefully they don't, but if they still run your life on some degree, when you start learning how to love yourself fully, it's almost you disengage the pressure of those old beliefs, the pressure of those old paradigms, and you get to really be in a place of grace. But by the way, that was actually realizing now, 18 years ago, when I became a licensed practitioner, we all got given spiritual qualities, and grace was one of mine. So I'm very passionate about grace as well. As much as I at the time was like, what do I want grace? I'm a man, I don't want grace. I argued with the teachers, which is ridiculous. You know, you don't argue with spiritual teachers. That was a mistake. But I recognize now more and more that grace is one of my keys. Because when I trust that inner loving place, that inner stability, life moves with grace. And that's true for all of us. We can have that. I'm not sure what I just want to say. That seems to really sort of pretty quickly puts into a nutshell. So I'm sure there may be people with questions.
So I would like to ask some questions for everybody.
Please.
Okay.
So, thank you, Mia.
You're welcome. So self-love is very powerful. We all know I teach self-love too. And right. The reason I'm doing this with you is because you inspire me in the way that you teach for others. So This grace, let's get into a little bit about how divine feminine, love, self-love, love, and grace come together. Will you share a little bit about that with us?
Certainly. For me, this is part of the worship and the reverence I have for the feminine. Because when women are in the feminine, grace is almost automatic. The thing about grace is it's such a, again, like we think about love being a certain limited label. A lot of people, grace is just this spiritual thing. But grace is the way that life, it's almost the lubrication for life as well. Because when women are in the feminine, and I say it this way, the power of the feminine is enough to raise the oceans on the planet. It ain't no small thing. So feminine power, feminine leadership, feminine strength is far powerful than the masculine is, which is why men are so scared of it. That's why they act the way they do. Women in the feminine, they bring a way of life that is grace-filled. It's almost the divinity of the feminine spirit that comes through in a graceful way. And let me go sideways for a second. Our planet needs it more than ever. That's one reason I'm so passionate about this is I'm having clear for a couple, since 2007 now, that this planet is in desperate need of the feminine leadership, the feminine component, and the feminine grace that we are so needed for. The planet is in trouble without it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That answers your question. It's certainly.
And how does self-love work into supporting the divine feminine and grace and the beauty within us?
Okay. For me, self-love is the access point through which we remember who we are. We've been trained by society. We've been trained by the culture we're in. We've been trained by our peers to act certain ways. Men and women have done that. And when we start to love ourselves truly, we start to opening the door in a way, opening to ourselves to recognize that we are actually masters of our own destiny, that we're already whole and complete as we are, and that we don't need to compete with anybody. Mm-hmm. And one of those keys about self-love is we value who we are. And when we start doing that, then life out there doesn't control us anymore. One of the things I talk about in the self-love practice as well is that our the view of the world moves from out there to in here. When we're looking outside ourselves for validation, looking outside ourselves for respect, when we're looking outside ourselves for, did I say acceptance already? No, I said it again. We think somehow the world's going to justify who we are and acknowledge who we are. It may do that or it may not. And if we live our lives based upon what the world does or doesn't do, we're in trouble. And most of us have been trained that way. That way for me to be approved of by society. We have to look a certain way, present a certain way, have the right job, the right car, the right family, the right schooling. That's nice, but it's not relevant. Mm-hmm. Because when we love ourselves, we know we're already whole. The challenge is that we think in this world that we're somehow incomplete. That, and especially women have been told that. Okay, let me get vaguely political on this one. But several thousand years, women have been looked upon as being less than by society because society's been driven by the men. I guess I'm an activist in this level. I feel like women have been shortchanged for thousands of years. And so what's happening now with the awakening of women through Me Too, through the Time's Up, through all these movements, is a remembrance that women are more powerful and thankfully are way past due to step into their authority. And so for me, the self-love piece for women is after all the abuse and the labeling that has been done to women for generations, self-love is the reminder to yourselves that you're way beyond that, you're deserving of much more, and that what's been said is not true. Mm-hmm. And so in my work, a lot more and more, it's almost reminding women of the power they carry. That's beautiful. it's time for that now more than ever.
Tell us a little bit about the Golden Keys, and what everybody's going to hear soon a little bit about is Love 18.
Yes.
So the Golden Keys first.
Well, the Golden Key, there's one Golden Key I mentioned, which really the truth is the Golden Key is a simple one, which is self-love. Oh, damn, I've given it all away. But the reality
I think
is,
we knew that.
Yeah, I think you figured that out by now. But the, as I mentioned at the beginning, that love is one of many, it opens the door to many things. And so the Golden Key is really the key that opens the doorway to what's possible. And what I said, I've been journaling about this, writing about this, I've come up with 18 different, I call it love and. So it's applying love to certain aspects of our lives. I talk about support, confidence, acceptance, forgiveness, a lot of different things I talk about in this journey. And one of Nancy Dunn's created a group program that I'll offer at the end of this. But basically, it's a chance to offer people ways to look at love from new different ways, 18 different ways of seeing how love works in our lives, so that we can actually have a whole and healthy way of living life, so that we become whole beings. Actually, that's a lie. You already are whole beings. But I'm going to remind you how to be a whole being, because the reality of life is that we are autonomous whole beings, except we believe the lies that tell us we're not. That's why we go and looking for my other half, when you completely, all those codependent teachings and models, I'm also looking to stamp that out completely. My passion is to have people remember men and women. They're already whole. The relationship is additive, not filling a gap we think we have. So the 18 so far, the 18 components I have with love are really tools to help you remember the truth of yourself and then how to thrive in that way.
Lovely. What are some of those? Because we want to hear that. We want to hear
Well, I talk about support, one of them. I talk about love and support. And really, it's self-love and self-support. And this is one of the assignments I'll be teaching during the course. One of the things that we forget to do, to be blunt about it, is we forget how to really support ourselves. You know, we think, well, I'm supporting myself because I get up in the morning, I go and meditate, and I go to the gym. That's not what I mean. Our support is how do we stand with ourselves? It's like... if you have a child that goes to school and gets beat up by one of the kids, would you go to the school with that, with your child, and step against that parent who has the other child? That sort of support. And I mean in the sense not to be bullied or not, but the sense that life tends to bully us a lot. It throws a lot of stuff our way. And so we tend to find ourselves battling all the emails and the media and things we tend to get involved in, what's on our smartphones and everything else. When we support ourselves, we make choices. And from the place of supporting ourselves, we look at what comes out or comes at us with discernment. One of the biggest keys of self-support is standing up in ourselves and seeing the world from a place that how it can serve us. And one of the things I'm all very aware of is that we have become a very trigger-happy culture because of smartphones. All the notifications, the number of likes we get, makes us feel good or bad. When we support ourselves, when we really know how to support ourselves from a loving place, those are just simply interesting observations in a way. There are people I know whose lives, they live or die based on how many likes they get on one of their pictures on social media. Mm-hmm. That's not supporting themselves. They're tied to an outside reference, which isn't real. So self-support for me, love and support, is how do we put a foundation underneath our own consciousness so we can thrive in the world and we can do what we want. It's good or bad, make mistakes along the way, that's fine. But we don't judge ourselves and curse ourselves out. Judgment's another one I work with in the forgiveness piece. Because the thing about our training is that we're trained to believe that we should do things perfectly, and if we make a mistake, we're in trouble, which is not true, by the way. But we judge ourselves because we didn't do things right. We didn't call when we should have called. We had an argument with somebody else and we walked away badly. We cut someone up on the freeway. All these different things we carry as guilt trips inside ourselves. And forgiveness, which is part of this, is another one of those love and things. Love and forgiveness is how we heal and release and flush out those limiting beliefs, because who we are and what we are is whole and complete. And again, these 19 pieces so far I've come up with are 18, excuse me, actually are reminders of our wholeness, because we're not deficient, we're not lacking.
Right. There are so many. So there's 18 keys or 18 love spaces here. And there are so many ways in which men and women, I work a lot with men and I work with a lot with women, just like you. And So working in these spaces, self-love covers everything from our awareness to our getting in touch with ourselves, boundaries, everything. It affects all of our life.
Yes.
What would it look like for somebody to be living a consistently love-based life? What would that look like for us?
That's what I said.
You know how there's so much trauma and drama and chaos.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, frankly, it's something I aspire to myself because it's a journey for all of us. Mm-hmm. I would say when you come from a love place, well, let me say this. I would say to a degree the Dalai Lama models it, because the way he carries himself with such energy of love, it's a real powerful place. I'm not saying we all have to be Dalai Lamas, just to be clear. Mm-hmm. But if we can be that loving or more like we've been, if we can be somewhere between who we are now and that position of loving, we'd be masters of our world. Mm-hmm. Because what I watch somebody like that do is model how to be compassionate for the world, even though it's his whole life. But we can do the same thing on our own level. We can be, when we're in that whole loving place, is we look at our traumas in the past and we have compassion for ourselves. When we see what happened to us, we don't judge our lives as bad because of what happened, because for some of us we do that because we haven't been trained or told differently. The reality is what happened to you when you were younger, especially, was not in your control. I know a lot of women right now, because of what's going on with the hearings, have been voicing their unspoken wounds from the past, because up until now they weren't willing to share about what happened. They were 3-4 years old because somehow they were told it was wrong to do so. Mm-hmm. And for me to see us live in a whole place, those restrictions are gone, that we can be whole again, that we can accept who we are, we can forgive what happened. There may be work to do with the people outside who did those things to us, but when we really love ourselves, we don't walk around wounded anymore. We become accepting and graceful, and we fill those wounds with love. That's part of the loving practice, by the way, to really remember who we are and that we are deserving of the best. And from that place, we can have anything we want in life.
So it's about stepping out of the victimhood and standing firm in our own grace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And absolutely. And it's not that we're, you know, with that attitude of walk all over me, you know, type of right. thing. It's changes literally when someone has been injured by another and they've worked through the processes for themselves and they work through their yeah. forgiveness and they move on. It's a different space.
It's that
lighter awareness, that happier, you know, that continuous joy. That's really what self-love does for us. It really does change the structure of who we are.
Yeah. And I would say a little PS for that, because there's so many people who have been challenged by this work of going deep into their past to heal it. It's really, and this is the thing, some people are attached to what happened to them that makes them who they are. They're so attached to what their journey has been through pain, they don't know how to live life without it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate how that feels. But I'm also aware that when you do come to a place of loving who you are and you make peace with everything that came before, because that's the journey, mm-hmm. then you're free of that constraint. And for a lot of people, having that sense of loving means that you, as you said, you stop being a doormat, because the challenge is when you have those wounds inside that aren't healed, there's a tendency to lean into those pain places. Like it's like having a limp. You mm-hmm. favor one side, you favor one part of yourself, which makes you more of a, you become receptive to things on that level. Mm-hmm. When you're living wholeness, you stand up straight internally. Mm-hmm. And you become whole so that those things don't even affect you anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the depths of self-love, is to heal all the wounds that have once plagued us, so to speak.
Yes.
And it's interesting, because most people don't realize that the trauma and the victimhood are what produce the drama in our life, because we have to have that hit all the time, because we mm-hmm. have to feel. It's the only way, until we heal it with love, it's the only way that we're feeling, instead of feeling that deep love of who we are and who we've become. It's truly beautiful.
And that love is so much more enjoyable, so much more fulfilling, and so much more rich than the pain that we were driven by before. So yeah, it's worth doing the work.
Right. So we're going to open it up for a Q&A. And this is a shorter call, or a good call. We're not going to keep you, you know, past the hour, and we're going to be about another 15 minutes or 10 minutes.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Lots and lots of questions, and maybe a little less than that. So share with us about Love 18. I love that name because it's not like anything out there.
Well,
you told me that this course, that this 18-week course that you're supporting people in.
I had the idea what was going to name it, because I've come up with right now 18 really strong spokes of the wheel, as it were, around love that helps you to love yourself and to go through the journey to really become more powerful. And 18 modules is 4 months. It's 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I basically created a program, and it's interesting to look at the schedule. It goes through the holidays. So it goes through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
Oh, you get to support people through the holidays.
Well, that's the thing, is that summer's the most challenging time for people is during the holidays. I did a Facebook Live last week about, if you think you're evolved, I quoted John Bradshaw, who says, if you think you're evolved, go home for Thanksgiving. Because for most people, going to see the family again after being away for a few years can be the most traumatic experience you go through, especially if you've got wounds from there. Mm-hmm. So the program's intentionally set up to run through the holidays, because every week you have a touchstone, a connection back to the group, to stay in a place where we can stay in support of each other, both me and other people in the group. And the plan was to teach in one way, and realize it really got clear. Now, we lay it out weekly, because there's 18 modules, and each one builds on the other one. Mm-hmm. So right now they're set up in a sequence where each week there's going to be a written assignment, which gives you some steps to play with during the week. And then we have a weekly group call like this to do Q&A to get you guided if any questions come up, and also personal support. There'll also be a Facebook group, of course, because that's a requirement nowadays, mm-hmm. Private one. And each module will change your life if you're willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's lovely.
So that's why it's called Love 18, because it's 18 modules. And it was just like, because the other thing is, if I do like self-love to get something, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's plenty of programs out there called that, or love mastery, or love this, or love that, all these different things.
Excuse me.
I know.
negative things about my love mastery.
No, because that's the one I know so well, so that's why you came to my mind. But the thing is, that's why Love 18, I just wanted to write down, I went, that's so cool. One, it's easy to remember.
It is cool.
It's a short URL.
Right.
Plus, I'm going, that was taking people's minds. So I couldn't not do it.
Yeah.
So it's Love 18.
And I love that, because one, it takes it away from, like you were saying, it takes it away from discover love and make $1 million, you know, kind of thing. Or like, so I was talking to somebody today and they wanted to come on the call, and they were saying, you know, some of these webinars, it's about, you know, be happy and make six figures. Well, it's not about that. It's about healing yourself. It's about discovering the love. So that's
it's discovering the power of loving. And the truth, is, it's possible that by doing this course, you may start making lots of more money. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a happier person who's more grounded, more together, who knows what can happen?
Right.
I'm not promising that. It's not in the copy. It's one of the,
you might well, be it's in a natural effect of
exactly evolution. The side effect.
Yeah.
And the truth is, and here's one thing I will promise. If you do this course, your relationships, all your relationships will change. Most for the better.
And
you might
why?
Find some you will.
And why?
Well, because one or two things will happen. Your relationships that you have that are close to you will get better and better, because you'll be more in your loving, which becomes a guaranteed improvement of the connection. And for some relationships, you're going to get so loving, you'll walk away from them. You'll kick them out, as it were. Because some relationships you're still sustaining from your old wounds that you don't need anymore. Mm-hmm. Even family members. And you'd be so clear in yourself that you love yourself enough to say no. So it can go both ways. And that's okay, because when you love yourself, you're making clear, clean, healthy choices mm-hmm. for yourself.
Great. And we're going to open it up for Q&A. But I do want to say, and there's people who will be, lots of people who will be listening to this on the replay.
Yes.
That Barry is running this for $397 for 4 months. If you wanted to buy it tonight before midnight, it's $297, and there's also a payment plan. So he'll give you guys the link in the replay, you know, later on in an email. And now we're open. Enough of that. And now we're open to chat. So, does anyone have any questions they'd like to ask us or him? Not us. My program isn't on here. So
I'm just looking to see if they're muted. If they're not visual on screen, they can't wave at us.
Yeah, but so, they can hit *2 to raise their hand.
Well, there's a raised hand. There's a raised hand.
Or turn off that mute button.
Yeah, okay.
So with this many people on, there may not be questions.
Maybe quick.
That's right.
So anybody have a question?
Barry, I have one.
Hi, Tess. Yes.
Hey, with the feminine, obviously, you know, more self-love, you know, just really in their own joy and happiness. I've had personal experience where the masculine just aren't that receptive to it, aren't ready for that. not as many examples of conscious men out there. So once you start going through this process of self-love and growing and you're really moving along well, it can get really demoralizing where you don't meet, you know, the masculine that are kind of in that space ready for it, for that.
Mm-hmm. So how do you
deal with that as a feminine woman?
I understand what you're talking about. That's one of the challenges right now is women are waking up faster than men are. So I totally understand where you're coming from. The thing is, I'll also say this, and this is the presumption made in this conversation is there aren't enough men out there who are conscious.
Uh-huh.
Unless you want to date 70 men at once, you only want one.
That sounds awesome.
I wanted to ask you this. Fine. I want to say this way, though. Is that if you are really looking for that relationship you want to create, first of all, by doing the work inwardly, you become a magnet for it. I actually have a program called Attract the Man You Want because I learned a long time ago the power of the feminine is attraction. So what happens is you doing the work, transforming your life and becoming more whole and more loving, attracts to you a man that will honor that. Because any man that doesn't honor that won't be attracted to it because they'll be scared of it. So what happens is you start to shift. What will happen is you'll shift your scenery will change. You start noticing different men. And the ones that you've been noticing before, well, they just won't feel anything for you. You won't feel it for them. And so the ones that there'll be, you'll see amongst the crowd, you'll see the ones that actually do stand up.
Yeah, there's fewer, though.
but it only takes one perfect man, literally. You know, what he's saying is we do this work and we start to manifest and create our mate, they're there. You can find them. And I'm not saying they're stalking you on Facebook, but you can find them anywhere. They don't have to be in your country. And yet maybe they wanted to move to your country and they decided that they were in their process of moving. So when we manifest, we can't put the limitations on. We have to allow it for God, the universe, divine love, creation to come in and to support us. And that's part of it. You know, that's part of what Barry teaches too. It's literally about coming in and opening up. It's beautiful.
It's learning how, as a feminine woman, it's learning how to be a magnet with discernment. Because the truth is that when
you can see the woman. Robin.
The thing I noticed.
I knew you would. I saw your light come on.
So just to finish that point for Tess, that for us, for you as women, the power you have to attract is great. But the challenge a lot of women is they don't know how to have the discernment to really filter what they're drawing in. They're drawing stuff they don't want as well. So as you elevate and become more in alignment to your self-love, your focus becomes sharper so you don't attract things you don't want. You actually attract what you do want.
Yeah, spot on. Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Mia.
You're welcome, all right.
Thanks, Tess.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. So I guess my question is, I believe in past lives. And so I also believe that we've all been feminine and masculine. And so what's to say that the feminine revolution isn't tied to the masculine? You know, it could be that the feminine now or previously masculine, and that's the reason for the rise. You know, so there must be a balance. I don't believe necessarily in the rising of one over the other, because that's, you know, we want everyone to be rising up to the same level. And so when we change our energy, then everyone and everything accordingly changes in reflection to us. So we have to be, I believe we have to be the change ourselves. And then we draw to us those that are parallel and are in confluence with what we say and do. And so just by being the change, then we draw in what we seek to be the, I guess, reflection of who we are.
So you're quoting, sound like you're quoting Gandhi. You know, be the change you want to be in the world. See in the world. Maybe. So not to be saying I agree with you, yes. I don't want to get into too much like, you know, some of the past life stuff, but I do understand that the shifting of roles that we have, changing from masculine and feminine. I believe right now what's happening is it isn't going to be balanced initially, because the world's been so biased towards the patriarchal, male dominated focus. I believe there's going to be a bigger swing towards the feminine first before we come into balance. I feel almost it has to be that way, because there has to be enough of a loud enough, like a stamp on the ground of the feminine for men to go, oh, hang on a second, we need to stop. Because it's like women can't, the way I would say it is, because we men are not particularly aware and visionary, that when the women show up and stand next to us, we'd be like, I didn't notice anything. When we get pushed by the women to move out of the way for a second, we go, hang on a second, something's happening. So metaphorically speaking, I believe the transformation is going to be a pendulum swinging more towards the feminine first and then back into balance. How long it's going to take, I don't know, but that's what it feels like will be happening.
But I guess my comment, and it probably isn't clear, but is that...
I'd like to answer your comment.
Well, so much of what and who we are. So I could have been a man in my past life, mm-hmm. and now I'm a woman. And now I'm coming of this feminine revolution. But so many of my peers were also men. And so I guess I would say not to be, I don't want to be caught up in any swing. I just believe that the balance is what we want. And so when mm-hmm. we balance, because we were all everything. And so if we rise up and do certain things in the name of a certain gender, then we may have been the gender of which we're rising up against now. So so anyway,
maybe it's karmic. I don't know. I mean, to answer your question that way, I understand what you're saying, but also we're dealing in the world now, which is the way it's balanced. So it may be past generations of male experiences now in the feminine are standing up in a different way because they realize now the imbalance. So maybe it's a karmic circle that's coming around. I don't know.
Well, the point is that soul, we are souls. This is our past life experience. Soul has been both male and female. It is. It doesn't have a gender.
Right.
When we incarnate into experiences, planets, Earth, other planets, other experiences, we are requiring our soul to have an experience that it wants to have, that it either wants to solidify, make stronger, enjoy, or something new. And so this time I chose to be a woman. This is my example of me. And in the past, I have not experienced that in my past life regressions yet, but I'm sure I was, because I'm pretty straightforward there at times. But it's about the soul essence. It doesn't, for me, I don't believe it matters whether you're male or female, but in this time and space, to love the feminine and the masculine. It can't be one or the other. It has to be both. But right now, since all the women on the call and all the women on pretty much on his community are female, that's why he's speaking to females. But you're absolutely right, Robin. And it's that conscious awareness, as you know, because, you know, the work that you do is this too. It's that it's bringing that awareness and that consciousness to spread it along the planet. So as love projects forward and moves, you know, each of us, the work you do is fabulous about love, and it's spreading it out there, the information, the working, and that's where the shifts are coming, and that's where the balance of the masculine and feminine are coming together, it feels. Mm-hmm. And yes, and we do exemplify masculine and feminine qualities in each of us, and we should honor that too, you know. Well, that's the
just to jump on that one quickly is in the work I've been in what I've said for the last 10, 11 years is that when I talk about masculine and feminine, the reality is it's the masculine and feminine, masculine and feminine energetic. But as you said, we carry both inside of ourselves, just that we tend to find that some of us lean more towards the masculine end of the spectrum, some lean more towards the feminine end of the spectrum. Some people are in the middle, some people on extremes. The truth is if you're on one extreme or the other, you're actually less functional on the planet. You have to have both inside. Mm-hmm. So usually we end up being about a 70-30 or a 60-40 or a 75-25 split of the energies, because we are whole people. That's the other thing. We're not half a person. So we're looking for somebody else. We're not going, you complete me, which is the old Jerry Maguire thing. Mm-hmm. The truth is we are whole beings already, but we include both components, making a whole person. But we tend to lean towards one side or the other side of the spectrum, depending on what we're choosing to be.
And as we evolve, the idea is to bring out all of it together.
Yeah. And the truth is, if we were 50-50 split, we'd be androgynous.
Exactly.
Because there's no polarity, which is not, so there's no sexual connection when you have no polarity.
On Earth, that's the way it is. On other planets, we're more the other.
Yeah. Beyond my reference.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Robin.
Well, that turned into a lovely, I love that. You know, the more expansive on information, the greater, because it's all about waking up the consciousness or waking up the unconscious into the conscious awareness.
Right.
So that's really beautiful. And thank you, Robin. That was really lovely.
So okay. I should say that this is what we just talked about is not part of the 18.
But that's okay, because it was a question.
Maybe another, maybe a second level after this.
It's beautiful because all questions are, you know, they have this validity and this purpose. It's the more we speak and seek, you know, or the more we seek and speak, whichever way you want to say it, we're asking for information to come. We're asking for awareness. We're opening that expansion. So that goes along with self-love. That goes along with conscious awareness. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that one. Okay.
Absolutely.
So we are now out of time, unless there's one more question. And all of you on the replay, thank you for listening. Everyone here in the audience, thank you for being here and sharing your time with us. It's really a joy to have you all. And Barry will be sending out an email.
I will send an email to everybody with a link, yes. Thank you for joining.